Hey, it's Bernie Goldmach, and I'm here on my deck on a windy day in County Tipperary, Ireland, making a quick clip on a Sony Xperia Z5 phone. It's going up as an EdTech clip because I have a Manfrotto mini tripod. It's a Pixie tripod, and I'm just trying to see, does the wind noise come through the Z5? Does the wind noise come on top of the small camera that I have? It's a reclaimed, rescued Vireo JVC camera. It's an HD camera, 60 gig hard drive, 60 gig hard drive on it. Nice. Anyway, the EdTech clip tip is this. Those little mini tripods sold by Manfrotto are very, very good. They're Pixie type. And I hope that this little YouTube clip comes out with a whole lot of wind noise being muffled on top of the camera. I have to get a windshield for the top of the camera. And I have that on my wish list. But the EdTech clip of the day is Manfrotto. You pay, you get what you pay for. I think I paid 15 euro for this Pixie tripod. You need it. You need a tripod if you're going to do handheld recording of video. You actually do. And this time I'm using the tripod with a very heavy HD camera on top of it for a YouTube clip. YouTube.com/TalkGold. You can see me waving at you while making an EdTech anchor clip. Bye for now. Dylan and I are talking about the Manfrotto Smart Clamp. It's a piece of technology. I stuck it on my Instagram, and it makes 4 or 5 year old mobile phones into smart things like tripod cameras, or it makes them into viewing platforms, or it gives ballast to the back of the phone, so if you drop it, you don't crack it as fast. It takes a shock. Dylan, do you like the Manfrotto Smart Clamp?
Manfrotto name is Poo Poo Head.
Okay, it's not a poo poo head. It's actually a head that goes on top of a tripod. It can expand up to 3.29 inches to grip a phone. Not an iPad mini, but a phone. And it has a little tripod in the back of it, a little flip out position.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Anchor. Say hi, Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Yeah, he's listening to you, Dylan, making this EdTech gold piece. No, we're not going to make a fart on the phone. It's a Manfrotto, Manfrotto. Smart clamp. You gotta have a look at it. If you're if you have an old phone and you don't have any data on it anymore, you just want to use it as a viewing platform on Wi-Fi, or I don't know, you want to record anchor clips on it. It's pretty cool. Just sits there and dedicated little mini mic, as it were. I hook a smart lab mic to the bottom of our old iPhone 5C and just sits there in the corner of the desk. And when I want to talk, I talk as Top Gold. But right now, I'm Bernie. I'm EdTech. And that was an EdTech gold piece. It would cost you all about $10 to buy a Manfrotto smart clamp. You should do that if you want to reuse old technology as a dedicated object, a viewing platform, or as a mobile mic that just sits there and is ready for you to rock and roll. The Manfrotto Smart Clamp. Thank you, Dylan, for helping out. No farts from Frottos. All Manfrotto. It's across on my Instagram where I'm Top Gold. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hey, Bernie, this is also to comment on your cassette, and you were talking about it being warm. Given the tubi sound. As a matter of fact, I think most broadcasters nowadays on radio would try to emulate that sound most times than not. And I'm one of them that actually I like the sound of FM and the warm feel. But I know exactly what you mean because I'm into tube radios. I'm not really into 8-tracks, but more like track, not track records, records, just records in general, vinyl records. I know my wife is in it too, and she picks up old vinyl records from the record store herself. And we're pretty young. I mean, like extremely young, actually, as a matter of fact. But either way, and I think most people try to emulate that, and I think that's what they go with. I'm not used to this new talking on the phone and broadcasting this way with just no warmness.
So Dave, we got a Valve processor in the attic. I mean, the thing must have cost $1,000 new. And I got my little boy's got a Behringer deck in the kitchen, about 5 years old. Bought it when working with some teenagers that I have. And I had it inside of a
child care center where the kids went, but we never used it, so I've rescued it. It's back home now. He plays with the sliders, and we pipe Alexa through it. It's a great guess. They have karaoke. The kids do karaoke with it. Yeah. Okay. Valve processor. I got to hook it up and bring some stuff in on a clipper. The radio guys we know that want that warm sound, they normally pay $500-$600 for the mic. I mean, we have a studio mic at work. It's about $1,200. We hang it from a shock mount. But it's not uncommon for guys on the roadcasters around Ireland to have carrying cases with their favorite mics in and give them the warm pipe and voice. And you get around that electronically with valve processing, or you buy one of those pieces of kit. I mean, it generates so much heat. It can be a space heater. Okay, that is all. Valve processing for real tube sound. The AM warmth that we all miss.
Sorry it's taking me 2 call-ins, but I use the valve processing, as you have mentioned. I use Adobe Edition to give me that warm sound, especially when I am on my, I don't know what it is, once my vocals get warmed up, because right now I'm in the morning at 6:39 a.m. here on the Eastern time. I sound pretty good. I sound like I should, like I want to, but I have a very high pitch. Once my vocals get very warm, I sound very high pitch, and I can't stand my voice that way. I mean, although I'm used to my voice, that's one thing, but I just would wish that I would have a deeper voice. But there's something to be said about that, and I think Greg had mentioned that before. We have valve processing on Adobe Edition and also Audacity.
If you have something that you know would help a teacher reclaim old technology and use it in the classroom, something inexpensive but clever, or you have a way that you're using a phone that's 4 or 5 years old and it's fine as a dedicated, say, YouTube viewing object, let me know. I'd like to make it part of an ed tech series I'm sharing with teachers who have very scarce resources but are willing to step forward and use something that's as simple as tap and touch and talk and play. Let me know. You know how to do it. It's called a call in. Or just stick it on your own station, hashtag it edtech. I'll find it. I can find because I can search. I'm Bernie. I'm Top Gold. But wait a minute, am I? I might be EdTech. I can't remember. No, I'm Top Gold. Bye for now. Hi, it's Bernie. I'm in South Tipperary, Ireland. I work with young people doing microphone stuff, mobile journalism stuff, YMT.fm, that's the place. And with students that are between the first and fourth year of college in a creative media degree or a sports management degree or a business degree or digital animation degree, so I'm all over the map, literally, between Tipperary and Limerick, where I teach for the Limerick Institute of Technology. And I'm saying all this because we have an audio storytelling module that we're trying to push out to teachers, and I'm trying to show them best practice. And part of the best practice violates the constraint, or faces a constraint that Anchor has. So Anchor doesn't let you have an image, a cover art image. And illustrations or imagery are important here on the Anchor side of life. What people do is they put their cover art on Instagram. That seems to be default. So like I talked about something, the Manfrotto tripod is over on Instagram /TopGold, my account over there. You can see my cover art. On other audio platforms, your cover art appears inside the MP3 player. Audio Boo does that, for example. So I'm caught in this polite tension of saying I know people like looking at what you're talking about, and they want to see at least cover art that would show your face, which is what Anchor does. It shows the shows who you are, but not necessarily what you're talking about. So you're constrained by cover art, a lack of it. So I asked Avi in another wave about like enhanced podcast as the format for Anchor, because if it was an enhanced podcast format, then that means the architecture of the app would allow for cover art to be injected into episodes that you create. But I think I answered my own question by looking back at what plays back, and the AAC format doesn't play back. It comes back at you, it's MP3 or M4A, I can't remember now. MP3 is what it comes back to you as. So you lose the opportunity for cover art. Now this is important because about 10 years ago, we were teaching enhanced podcasts in the curriculum where I work. And we were using a combination of tools. Now, GarageBand would do it. There was a Java tool we were using. And I think ID3 Tagit does it. So I have to look at that myself. ID3 version 2, of the tags would allow you to inject cover art at markers inside an MP3 file. So as you would listening, as you were listening to a podcast, listening to an MP3 file play, you'd see a new image pop up describing to you some, showing you something that you were describing. And I think that's pretty cool. Anchor's going down a different pathway where all of a sudden words will start to appear instead of cover art, which is a bit of a divergence. I get it, because I think that, I get it. But they're pushing against a door that other people aren't using, maybe. And so I'm left with this fork in the road saying, if I want to teach students who often don't speak English as a first language, and I want to have a standard image in front of them, it could be just a set of words, or an object that I'm showing them how to use, or something on a screen that I've captured and I want to talk about, I have to either use the current workflow that we have, which is Camtasia, or Camtasia is the one we use primarily. Do it in Premiere as well, but Camtasia is what I use. Put the image up there, the audio is underneath it, and the image is on screen, but they're using YouTube as the player to play it back. So, a long way around it. I think enhanced podcasts have gone down the pathway of YouTube. Enhanced podcasts were a thing in 2004 to 2006. 2007, bang, YouTube showed up. YouTube is now the second most used search engine in the world. And people like seeing little video clips that may have an image that's sitting right in front of them. So, Avi, if you're listening, I've kind of answered your question. I don't think Anchor will ever support enhanced podcasts. Its architecture won't allow it. It's old architecture, and it's actually easier in hand to produce an M4A file that has a single image on it that you can pop to YouTube, and then that serves as your enhanced podcast. People just subscribe to that. The problem with that is most people won't subscribe to a downloadable version of the audio of the video. But that's something I'm working in another frame of reference. Okay, so I'm doing Camtasia to keep the cover art in place as audio is talking about it. And I'm going to probably use episodes that I'm creating here on Anchor as the waveform, the MP3 file. And I'll stick my own stuff on top of it, images, and I'll pop them out to YouTube. And I have my enhanced podcast. Now I need to figure out a way people can subscribe to that and download that through a podcast player. Bye for now.
In case you jumped right into the flow here, Dave, Reckless Recess, and I have been talking about giving the warmth back to the voice using Vowel Processor, which is kind of beyond what a lot of people would carry around. Now, you can carry around tools, software tools that give you the compressor or give you the kind of warmth that accentuates your voice, or you can be blessed with a deep voice and good pipes like I'd say half a dozen people I follow already are, but that's not the point. The point of mentioning all this is that you can actually take a 2-minute clip with really good processing, good articulation, pauses, maybe ambient sound, and make it more compelling than a 15-minute ramble. So if you're going for attentiveness, trying to capture the attention of a listener, and the listener in my case would be a student who's got a lot more distractions in her life than I can possibly fathom. If I'm trying to capture their attention within 20 or 30 seconds so they don't scrub out of it, like I know most people do with the clips I make, they, within 4 or 5 seconds, they make a decision. Do I want to listen to your man or not? They scrub, scrub, scrub. And I do too. And then you got the other situation where you have people listening at the fastest playback rate. So lots of things I bring in on my podcast plays, I'm listening to people twice the speed at which they talked. Anyway, Vowel Processing makes their natural voice better, and that's good. That's really good. Show it to me, Dylan. Dylan came in to tell me about a washer he found. Where did you find it?
Washer outside here.
Did you?
And
a washer's important. We're not sure where it came from, but it looks like, let me hold it, Dylan. Looks like something we could use again off a bicycle or a rack. Thanks, Dylan. I'll hold on to that, okay?
No, it's all over there.
Oh, you're going to hold on to it? Okay, put it into your kitchen unit. Dylan's got a small little kitchen unit with a mixing desk, bookshelf speakers, and Alexa. Your hand turned black. I've got to go with a real-world problem here. Has nothing to do with Vowel Processing. Now it's a black hand. I think there's a terrorist group called that, isn't there?
Not our one.
Okay. Right. Valve processors. Dylan, I'll be right back, okay? I have to leave now and talk to the guys here. I'm going to say goodbye. Just remember, valve processors are a technique that can make the first 5 to 10 seconds of any clip you create more compelling, so people actually listen to the whole segment. And that's good, isn't it? Get their attention for more than 2 minutes. That's my goal. Maybe even keep them for 5 minutes long at a time. And then what the students love is knowing that perhaps I can be trusted to reduce to 5 minutes what I would have normally used 55 minutes to tell them in a classroom lecture. I'm Bernie. I'm Top Quote. I'm working on this EdTech stuff so that my next year can deliver 4 times as much compelling content as previous years. Take care out there.
What up, Bernie? So, yeah, I get the vowel processing, and that's something that I use, especially when I want to sound real warm versus using Yamaha. The Yamaha is pretty cool. I can do whatever I want on it. It has the highs, the lows. But the thing is, it's kind of like an in-between to my laptop, and that's what I've been using it for. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I could definitely go with what you have and buy a less than expensive intermediate. I like condenser mics, however it just picks up every single noise in the room, and I don't have a dedicated room to do that and pad it. I can use it in the closet, which will be great, but eventually I'm gonna do what you have suggested, and I think I'm gonna go and invest in a way of recording it, editing, and then putting it on Anchor, which